The word that I was drawn to is wait. When Jesus said, wait to the disciples. There are different kinds of waiting that we experience. I think all of us have at some point had to wait in some sort of office, maybe a doctor's office or somewhere else, and you are just at the mercy of the doctor. Maybe you have a selection of magazines from 30 years ago that were bland at the time, and there's some generic sound playing, and all you can do is sit there. It really doesn't matter what you do. Nothing is going to make it, going to change when it happens. Nothing that you do will contribute to your name eventually being called. All you can do is just sit there. And we get to see what level of purification has happened in our hearts as we wait. Are we waiting patiently? Are we good boys and girls waiting there? There's another kind of waiting. I remember when I was younger, living at home, my mother would say, I'm heading out. When I come back, could you please have cleaned something? So, could you please have vacuumed the house for me? Could you please have the house tidied? Now, Mom would leave, and there's a different kind of waiting now. Mom is coming back. There's nothing I can do to speed up or slow down or change when Mom arrives again. But I've been given something to do. I've been commissioned to be busy. And actually, how I spend my time is going to affect how I feel about the sound of Mom driving back into, pulling back into the driveway. If I'm in the midst of a very important video game and I suddenly hear that car and the door and I haven't done a thing, there's not going to be a sense of excitement that Mom is back, but rather dread. And maybe I will quickly scramble, pick up the vacuum and say, you wouldn't believe what happened. There's another kind of waiting that I remember. It's similar, where Mom would say, I have to go out to get some things because we're having a big meal tonight. Lots of family is coming over. Your cousins are going to be here. While I'm away, could you clean the house and have it ready when I get back? Well, I've been commissioned, and now I actually have something that is going to happen. Not only is Mom just coming back, which is fairly routine, thank be to God, I have this sense that there's this event coming, this special thing. Now my work actually is in some ways contributing and connected to this big event. I'm cleaning the house, I'm working at it, because I know that there is going to be this huge, well, this large celebration. There's going to be a pie per person. There is going to be great food. And I'm going to see my cousins, my aunts and uncles will play games together. And I am now excited about getting this work done. Now, maybe I don't do it anyway. Maybe there's something more important, like that video game. And certainly, how I spend my time affects how I feel about Mom's return. I have been given a choice. Do I want to be part of the work, or do I want to just leave that work for others? Do I want to spend the time with an increasing sense of dread that Mom's return is imminent, or do I want to spend that time with a sense of excitement that I am caught up in something that I can't do anything about? I can't create this event. I can't bring these people. I can't choose the timing of my Mom's return or their arrival. But I have been given some way to take part. I am trying to illustrate with this, and I hope it's obvious, what Jesus said to his disciples in this passage in Acts. Luke tells us, Luke recorded, that Jesus presented himself alive to his disciples by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over 40 days. Now, 40 days from Easter Sunday to this last Thursday, that's 40 days, and that takes us to Ascension. So normally, in the church calendar, Ascension falls on the Thursday, exactly 40 days for this reason. Now, we're celebrating it today because I know you have other things, you're very busy on Thursday, and this is very convenient. We're all coming together anyway, so we're celebrating Jesus' Ascension today. During those 40 days, Luke tells us, Jesus was speaking about the kingdom of God, and he says to the disciples, wait for the promise. Is it now, the disciples say? Is it about to happen? When is it going to happen? Is this the time that you are going to restore the kingdom of God on earth to Israel? Is this a time when you're going to bring everybody together in that meal that Isaiah described? And Jesus said, you will have to wait. It's not for you to know the times. You won't know the day, which is consistent, we would recognize looking back, with what Jesus had said over and over and over again. You will not know the time. It will be a surprise. Be ready. But you will receive the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witnesses around the whole world. The disciples wanted change, and they wanted it yesterday. They knew how the world should be. They knew that the way the world was ordered at the moment, the government was all wrong. They knew that even in their own nation, a few were running things for their own gain in collusion with the Roman Empire. But they were told to wait. Now, sometimes we think the Christian answer to this dilemma of knowing that things aren't right, whether that's in the suffering in our own lives, whether it's in the way that we see the government is not doing what it could, the way that we see that society itself seems to be corrupted, we feel the answer sometimes is that it's all about going to heaven. We are going to heaven, we just have to endure this. That's what waiting means. Whether we do it well, whether we do it poorly, it really actually has no bearing on anything. If that were the truth of the matter, this discussion would have been another opportunity for Jesus to set them straight and to be clear that their hope was not about this world, but about heaven. He could have said, it's not about how this world works. It's not about the kingdom coming here and being established. I'm going to go to heaven and make my kingdom there. Instead of dismissing that idea, he gives them this answer that is maybe vague and frustrating. He says, it's not for you to know the time. Jesus does not correct them on this idea that the kingdom will be established on earth, that it is coming. As if implicitly saying, you're not wrong to want the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. But you have to wait. You do not know the day. It isn't now. You have to wait. The angels in this scene also have a chance to tell the disciples that the kingdom on earth doesn't matter. They're looking up to heaven, and the angels could have said, you're right. Keep looking, because it's not about this world. One day you too are going to go up to heaven and everything will be okay. But the angels don't say that. The angel said, why are you gazing up into heaven? One day, Jesus will return to earth. So the disciples waited. But what was their waiting like? We have this whole book of Acts that tells us. They waited with great anticipation and excitement. We have it in the letters of Peter and Paul, this sense that, you know, if you read the earliest ones to the later ones, it seems like you can see this transition where they begin to realize that, oh, this isn't going to happen right away. We may have to go through our whole lives. And in fact, maybe the next generation will have to wait as well. You can sort of see in their later letters, that they think, we better establish some order and some structure. We better temper some of our expectations and brace ourselves for a long road. They waited, though, with anticipation and excitement. Jesus was going to come back. And they waited. And their waiting was not simply waiting to go to heaven. It was not simply passive. They had been commissioned to be at work. And you see this in their own lives and in the way they talked about what they were struggling with. You see this in their actions. They had a sense that they were being called to purify themselves, to become holy people, disciplined, to live lives of repentance, and to call the people that acknowledge Jesus as Lord to those same things, to holiness and righteousness. And then in their actions, you see how in one generation, they established the church from India to Britain to, well, maybe not Britain, that's early, but Britain to Spain and to Africa. They helped the sick. They helped the hungry, the homeless, those in prison, wherever they went. And this is something that we know from people who were opposed to them, who say, well, you've got to say this about the Christians. They take care not only of their own, but of everyone else as well. As they waited, they worked. And things, in fact, got worse for them. We know that all of them suffered, and many of them were martyred because they refused to stop telling other people about Jesus and that he was coming back. And still the kingdom did not come. We also have hopes. Hopes for our own lives. Hopes for this world. A sense that this is what God wants as well. For things to be right here. And yet there are things that hold us back. Whether it's in our hearts and minds. Whether it's in our society, in our world. Whether it's in people. We are held back. Our country is held back. And all of these things seem out of our control. But we are waiting in obedience to Jesus' command to us. Waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled, a final decisive act when Jesus will return. And so we are waiting with excitement and with anticipation. And we are assured that one day we will see Jesus with our own eyes, face to face. We are waiting not passively, but doing what we can, knowing that somehow the things that we do here are connected to the world that is coming. All the same, it is important to come back to that word, waiting. Waiting means we know that we will not be the ones to establish the kingdom on earth. Waiting means that all we do, no matter how great it is always, only, ever, partial, incomplete, and vulnerable. Waiting means that if we fail, we are not failing to establish the kingdom. It is coming. Waiting means that we will not even finish our efforts to change our own behavior, our own thoughts and hearts. We are waiting. Waiting means that we will always need to confess. We will always need to repent. We will always need to be forgiven until Jesus Christ, we see him and we are changed. Waiting means that we do not need to be caught up in angst that the world is not as it should be, but rather we have hope and can work on our own lives and in our world with excitement and anticipation, knowing that we know how this ends. That great meal is going to come. It will happen. And all of God's people will be gathered together around it, with Jesus at the head serving us. And next week we will celebrate Pentecost, the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Because the disciples were willing to wait, they received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not received ahead of time, not before needed. We must wait. This is the wisdom that Christians have passed down to us. There is a connection between waiting and receiving the Spirit. Now this week, if you think you have time, we have outlined, or we have selected a handful of scriptures from across the Old Testament and the New Testament, And we will gather to read them, reflect on them, and then pray. And by reflect, I mean reflect in silence and listen to what God is saying to us. And we'll pray together. We're going to do that three times a day, Tuesday night, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all leading up to our Pentecost intergenerational meal. So if you want a chance to, in the midst of all the other activities and all the other commitments and responsibilities, to have a discipline of being forced to slow down and reflect on some scriptures together and pray together, I invite you to mark these times in your calendar. It's in the newsletter and on our website. What we have in the story of the Ascension is otherworldly, hard to believe, fantastic. Like a number of the crucial parts of Jesus' life, they're just almost too much to believe, and boy, do I feel silly telling my non-Christian friends that, yep, this is what I believe. I think this really happened. I believe Jesus is coming back. What we have, which is interesting, is a story. And a story about a person, Jesus. But to be a Christian is first and foremost not to have sort of a code of ethics or an idea of how the world should be. It is first and foremost to know Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, is at the moment praying for us at the right hand of God and has promised to come back to finish the work. This Jesus who spoke to the disciples, as Annabelle said this morning to me, this same Jesus, isn't it so amazing, who spoke to the disciples in this passage, is alive and with us through the Holy Spirit and speaks to us today. This is the story that we submit ourselves to and try and let it control how we live our lives. Hear the words as we wait, from 2 Peter. In accordance with God's promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, my beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by God at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard this long wait as the patience of our Lord, as salvation. May we look at these long years that we spend, especially as they become hard, may we always look at them as God's patience, wanting us to continue to become holy and righteous people, ready to celebrate his return. Amen.